you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
From Luke chapter 7, verse 50, Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you, now go." Luke chapter 7, verse 50. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. Welcome, listening friend, to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm so glad you've joined us today as we begin the grand finale of our 10-part journey through Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles, a powerful series by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. Over the past few months, we've talked about daring to imagine, to believe, to pray, to commit, to wait, to plant, to trust, to be generous, and to go the distance. And now we come to this final call, daring to go in faith. You see, Jesus didn't just say, "Come to me." He also said, "Go." He called people to rest in him and then rise up with him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30 reminds us that Jesus invites the weary and burdened to come to him for rest. But in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, he sends us out again. "Your faith has saved you. Now go." True faith doesn't just sit. It doesn't stay. It goes. And today we're going to explore what that means. Pastor Rick Warren will share how daring faith is really about a party that will last forever, God's invitation to his eternal banquet. It's a message straight from Luke chapter 14, where Jesus tells of a generous host who invites people to come, but many say they're too busy. So the host tells his servants to go out quickly and invite others. Quote, go to the streets, the alleys, the country roads. Bring them all in so that my house will be full. End of quote. Friend, have you dared to go? To obey God? To do good? To live out the gospel? To share the good news? Today's episode will challenge us to live with kingdom urgency and gospel clarity. It will remind us that daring faith is never passive. It moves, it goes, it sends. Let's open our hearts, our Bibles, and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today as we dive into daring to go in faith. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Two of the words that summarize the message of Jesus are these, come and go. You might write that down, come and go, are two of the words that summarize what Jesus came to tell us about. To the hurting, to the confused, to the lost, to the broken, to the frustrated, to the guilty, to the depressed, Jesus says, come. He says, come. To those of us who have been saved, had our lives transformed, been changed, been turned upside down for the better, he says to us, go. The verb changes. Look at this verse. Matthew 11, Jesus says this. If you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, if you're tired of carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble and you'll find rest. My yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. A yoke is what you'd use to put two cattle together so that the load is lightened. Instead of one cow pulling the wagon, two can share it. Jesus says, yoke up with me, partner with me, and I'll help you carry your load. And if you're under stress right now, Jesus says to you, come, come to me. But then once you're in God's family, and once your life has been healed and made whole, and your life has been changed, God changes the verb and he says to you, go. Luke 7:50, Jesus said, your faith has saved you, now go. James 2:17, any faith that doesn't lead us to go into action with good deeds is worthless. It's dead and useless. If you claim to be a Christian and you're not going, he says, your faith is dead and useless. Now, God is in the business of telling people to go. He told Noah, go build an ark. He told Abraham, go to another country and I'm going to give you a new homeland. He told Moses, go back to Egypt and get the children of Israel, and I'm going to release them. And he tells Jacob to go, and he tells Gideon to go, and he tells Isaiah to go, and he tells Paul and David, and on and on. And it is a going message. So this weekend is our final message in Daring Faith. I want us to look at daring to go in faith. Now let me ask you a question. Would you like to have someone live with you in your house for your entire life, or for all of eternity for that matter, and they didn't like you? Instead, they actually hated you? No. Wouldn't you want, if somebody's gonna live with you in your house for the rest of your life, you'd want them to be somebody who loves you? Well, yeah, of course you would. Well, so does God. And that's why people who don't love God don't go to heaven. God only wants people in heaven who really genuinely want to be there, who genuinely love him. Why would anybody ignore God their entire life on earth and then want to go live with him for eternity? That makes no sense. And so God puts us on earth instead of taking us directly to heaven to let us decide, each of us get to decide, whether we're going to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength or not. And he lets us decide. It's our choice. Now the fact is, the Bible tells us God has invited you to a party. And it's the biggest party ever in the universe. And it's gonna last forever and ever and ever. And it's gonna be in heaven. It's gonna be the banquet to end all banquets. It's gonna be the party to end all parties. It's gonna be a celebration that lasts for eternity. And you're invited. You're invited. But some people, for one reason or another, reject the invitation. Jesus said, I am the way. You come to the Father through me. Now, Jesus told a story to explain the party that you've been invited to by God. Luke chapter 14, it's there on your outline. A very powerful and generous man prepared a great banquet, and he invited many prominent guests. And when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to go and tell those invited to come. He said, "Come, for now everything is ready." But they, that's those invited, all began to make excuses. And the first guy says, "I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me." And another said, "I've just acquired five pair of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." Now, when the servant reported this, the owner of the estate became angry. And he told his servant, "Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of our city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame as my guest." And the servant said, "Master, we've already done this, but there's still room for more in your banquet." And the master said, "Then go out of the city to the roads and the country lanes and go everywhere and invite everyone to come so that my house will be full. I promise you this, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them." That's a sad statement. That a lot of people in life are never going to get to taste what God had prepared for them simply because they didn't accept the invitation. They were too busy. Now, God has prepared a generous banquet for all of us. It's a party in heaven that's going to go on for eternity. And the food's going to be like nothing you've ever eaten. I'm waiting for that. And the Bible says God planned this party because he's gracious and because God is generous. All generosity comes from God. And the Bible says God wants a full house. He wants a lot of people in heaven. He doesn't want a few people in heaven. He wants his house full. Full. Now, I want you to notice three things in this story. First thing is that God says that some people are going to reject his invitation. And he said when they reject it, they're going to regret it. Those who reject the invitation will regret it. And he says, not one of those people who ignored my invitation will ever get to taste what I had prepared for them. How dumb is that? To miss a party that God planned for you. But a lot of people do it. And notice that the excuses that people gave for not participating, they were all lame. The first guy said, "Oh, I can't come to the party because I just bought a field." Really? It's going to be there tomorrow. A field's not going to move. What's going to be any different? I just bought a farm. I got to go see it. Really? Could you not wait a day and go see it? That's a dumb excuse. Second guy says, "I just acquired a new business asset. I got some new oxen." That's like saying I got some new equipment. I just got some new physical assets for my business. And I'm going to let my business keep me from accepting God's invitation. The third guy says, "I just got married. I'm going to let a relationship keep me from accepting God's invitation." These are all lame excuses. But then he says this, if you are a servant, remember he sent the servant out to go get all the guests? He said, if you are a servant of God, your job is to bring in the guest. So, question, are you a servant of God? Are you a child of God? Are you in God's family? Are you saved? Then this is your job description. While you're here on this planet, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a child of God, you claim to be a servant of God, this is your job description. Go invite the guests. He says that's what you're to do. I want you to circle a number of things in this passage. First, circle, go and tell. Circle the phrase, go and tell. And then circle, go quickly. And then circle, bring in. And then circle, go out of our city. And then circle, go everywhere. And then circle, invite everyone to come. Those six things, go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out of the city, go everywhere, invite everyone, that's your job as a Christian. If you've truly been saved, you've truly been transformed, you're truly born again, you're truly in the family of God, that's your job description the rest of your life here on earth. You are to go and tell, go quickly, bring in, go out to our city, go everywhere, invite everybody to come in. This is what it means to dare to go in faith. I got to thinking this week, how many important words in the Christian life cannot be spelled without G-O? You can't spell God without go. Gospel, good news, goodness. And so I wrote down here on your outline, I must go to obey God. I must go to do good. I must go to live the gospel. I must go to become godly. I must go to reach my goals, and I must go to share the good news. These things can't be done without go. Go is included in these things. And here are some practical ways that you can be a goer. By the way, have you ever heard the phrase, he's a go-getter, or she's a go-getter? What does that mean? A go-getter is someone who is determined to succeed, and they will pay any cost and put forth the extra effort and do the hard work and do what's unexpected in order to succeed. That's a go-getter. God wants you to be a go-getter for the kingdom of God. He wants you to go and get other people because he wants his house full. God doesn't want a few people in heaven. He wants a lot of people in heaven. And so our first goal in FAITH is 40,000 in worship each weekend by our 40th year. Why? Because Jesus said, urge anyone you find to come so that my house will be full. You know, sometimes people say, well, why don't we just, we're big enough, our church is big enough, why do we need anybody else? Well, what if I'd said that when we had 500 people? You wouldn't be here. Or when we had 1,000 or 2,000 or even 5,000, you wouldn't be here. There would be a lot of people headed in the wrong direction, not headed to heaven, if we didn't keep reaching out. As long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus Christ, this church is going to keep reaching out, because God has never made a person he doesn't love, never made a person he didn't die for, never made a person that he doesn't want in heaven. So we're going to keep reaching out. The Bible says the Father is actively seeking people who will worship him. Here's some practical opportunities to grow. You can help us start a new campus in Southern California. Maybe you live in Long Beach or you live in another city where we could start. We're going to start 10 new Saddlebacks in the next 3 years here in Southern California. You could help do that. Or you could help start an extension worship service. We're doing them in prisons. We're doing them in assisted living homes. We're doing them in hospitals. And we're even doing them on college campuses. For instance, Saddleback Rancho Capistrano has an extension at the Dana Point Harbor at the boathouse. And a couple hundred people come to worship there. Saddleback Huntington Beach, or it's now Newport Mesa, has an extension in Corona Del Mar at the theater. And people go there. Chino Prison started 40 Days of Purpose. And they're doing the services of 40 Days of Purpose in Chino. And there was so many prisoners wanted to come to it, they started having given tickets to get into chapel. Can you imagine that? So many people wanting to go to service, giving tickets. And a guy told me just recently, a guy walked in with a ticket, and the guy looked down at him and said, this is fake. He goes, where'd you get it? He goes, I bought it on the black market. They go, wait a minute, somebody's selling tickets to church that are fake? He goes, well, yeah. He goes, I really wanted to come. And the guy said, well, look, as long as the fire marshal isn't here, come on in. So they let the guy in. They were just worried about how many people could sit there. We right now, the Saddleback Laguna Woods is doing extension services in 16 assisted living homes. The thing is, right now we have 11 more that have asked for us to come and start the services, but we don't have the volunteers. You could do that. You could go once a week to a worship service with elderly people and just encourage them and show some love to people who feel like they're forgotten. I remember when we started a worship service in assisted living, and a lady said, you know, I thought I'd never get to go to church again after I moved in here because I can't leave. And so we're doing that. And then I want to challenge you to accept a personal Daring Faith goal. There on your outline, I want to challenge you to pray and trust God to give you the privilege of bringing one person to Christ in the next 3 years, that I'll help them to be baptized, join our church family, join a small group, get involved in our church. You know, if every member reached one other person in the next 3 years, that'd mean we'd double. I mean, we'd have 100% growth and more people would be headed for heaven. That's a good thing. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you?
Wow, what a powerful word today. We've heard how Jesus' call involves two key invitations, come and go. Come to him for rest, go with him for mission. come with your burdens, go with his message. As Pastor Rick shared, daring faith isn't about playing it safe. It's about living like the banquet is ready and you've got invitations in your hand to give away. Luke 14 painted that picture so clearly. A feast is being prepared, but the host doesn't want empty seats. He says, go out quickly, invite everyone. There's still room. And friend, that's us. That's you. That's me. God is still inviting, and he's using people like us to go and tell. This kind of faith dares to reach out. It dares to speak up. It dares to live generously. It dares to move forward even when it's hard. James chapter 2, verse 17 reminds us that any faith that doesn't lead us to go into action with good deeds is worthless, dead, and useless. That may sound strong, but it's actually a freeing reminder. We are called to a living, active, world-changing kind of faith. Over these 10 sessions, we've walked together through what it means to imagine, believe, pray, commit, wait, plant, trust, give, endure, and now to go. And we don't go alone. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11 says, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. Acts 14 reminds us we go together for support. Hebrews 6 says we go on to maturity. And Hebrews 10 calls us to go and tell the good news. So let's do it. Let's go with boldness, joy, and daring faith. Let's go because he first came for us. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow for part two of this final theme, Daring to Go in Faith. And remember, you can listen anytime at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Until next time, dare greatly, live faithfully, and keep going in the strength of the Lord. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.